Yeah, take the journey with us. Jim will have more information next week, plus some handouts. Jim, I didn't hear if you mentioned it or not, I may have missed it, but also with the New Jersey Church, they're going to be doing the same thing. So it's all of us together that will be reading this. There may be some other things that happen along the journey and possibly something near the end of that journey, but we'll not there yet, but we'll talk about it next week. So some exciting things. I think this is a great thing for us to do together as the body of Christ. Continue to look on the website, Facebook page for information, different things that are going on. Invite somebody to church. Take them out to Bible study. Share the love of God with someone today. Make it your intention this week to do that, but do it first in your own life so that they can see Christ in you. Father, bless your word to our hearts. Thank you for all we've experienced so far in musical worship, in encouragement, Lord God, of reading your word together, in announcements and all these different things, Lord, even in our fellowship as we came in. But now, Father, as we set our hearts, Lord, as we set our things aside and set our hearts before your throne, Lord God, we settle ourselves. Would you settle us so that we can hear your word, receive it, and give you glory through it, in Jesus' name, amen. God's plan, eternal plan, you heard that the last couple of weeks, so the eternal plan of the triune God to save us from our sins. And you probably say you know this, but it's important to understand that the Bible tells us these things over and over again because we do tend to forget. We do tend to be needed to be reminded of things. And you might even be thinking to yourself, but wait, I get it. Okay, sins, you know, redemption, reconciliation, price had to be paid. But how bad really was it? Why was it that necessary? Why did God have to do all the things that he did to bring me back to himself? What was so bad about the situation that did it? Well, listen, he says it in chapter 2 of Ephesians, where we're going to continue on in this book of Ephesians. It's right out of the gate in the first verse, and it says, and you. Now, raise your hand if you're a you. Are you a you? Okay. All right. And you, me, we, all of us, including Paul that was writing this letter, and you he made alive, which is not in the original text, but it is there for the tense to help us in English to understand. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Dead. Dead. You say, no. I was alive when I heard the gospel. Yeah, physically you may have been, but you were dead. Spiritually, what does the Bible say about death? Death isn't the absence of the heartbeat or the brain function. Death is separation from God. And our sins have separated us from God, all of us. Say amen, please. So we were dead in our trespasses and our sins, separated from God. Dead. But he made us alive. But he made us alive. You know, the Bible says things like this when we're in our trespasses and sins. Yep, we're dead. It says we're blind. We're a slave to sin. We're a lover of darkness. We're sick. We're lost. We're an alien, a stranger, a foreigner, a child of wrath, under the power of darkness, and more, it says about us. We're in bad shape. We were in bad shape, and there was nothing we could do to change our condition and our destiny because of that condition. We're dead. In which once, verse 2, in which you once walked, again, you, us, we all walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Yes, you may be in Christ now, but you were once that way. Don't forget it. Don't forget it. And listen, let's go through that again. Because that's how we once walked, according to the pattern of this world, according to the beat of the world, the rhythm of this world, according to this world itself. This world plays a tune and we just follow right along. You know why? Because we're earthly and we live on earth. And it's a fallen earth because of our sin, but still that earth calls us. It's like a magnet to us. So what the earth does, it's following Satan, who now is the prince and the power of this system, of this world. How did he get that way? Because God put us in the garden, said we're supposed to have dominion over the earth, but because of our sin, we lost that place, or we abdicated that place, we fell out of grace, and he kind of jumped in and said, oh, I'll take over. That's a simplistic way of saying it, but that's kind of what happened. And God allows him to have some sway down here now. So he's conducting things here. He's maneuvering things here. He's setting the pattern and the pace of this world here. And he you can never say, by the way, you can just get this out of your mind once and for all. Don't ever think that you can claim with biblical authority that the devil made you do it, because he can't make you do it. But he can entice you. He can tempt you. He can cajole, he can pattern, he can do all those different things, and he's very good at it. I don't want to give him props, but, you know, we have to call it like it is. That's what he does. And he sets the patterns of this world, and we, because of our flesh that's attracted to this world system and listens to the deceiver, we just go, boop-a-doop-a-doo, we'll follow the Pied Piper right over, right to hell. That's our condition before we're saved. That may be your condition today. You might be here, and your heart is beating, and your lungs are full of air, and your brain is functioning, especially since you had a double espresso, triple thingy, whatever, and it's like, wah, 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 and your brain is like firing on all the cylinders, or so you think. But you might be here in that, and you're physically alive, but remember, if you're not in Christ, you are dead. By the way, with all consideration to those who make horror movies, you do not have to become a zombie to be the walking dead. We are born the walking dead. Understand that. The little baby coming into this world, that baby did nothing. Yeah, but he was born into sin. He or she was born into sin. They're the walking dead. Well, they're not walking yet, but they will be the walking dead. And even the little baby's already walking to the pattern of this world. Right out of the birth canal. Is that too graphic? I'm sorry. Just right out of the gate. Wow. Pattern of this world. He works in the sons of disobedience, and that's us, or words us. And we conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh. You say, but I wasn't that bad before. It don't have to be that you were out there shooting people. It doesn't mean that you're out there stealing from people necessarily, though some of you done those things. It doesn't mean that you were out there watching pornography all day or doing drugs or drinking or doing all kind of crazy. It doesn't mean you were doing that, though some of us did and have done those things. But it doesn't mean that. It just means that you were in your flesh. You were doing your own thing. Listen, right? Born and raised South Philly, I grew up listening and liking Frank Sinatra. But I can't listen to My Way anymore. I can't. When I got saved, that song got spoiled, man. It comes on and I cringe. I said, no, My Way, no, that's what I was doing. That was my anthem. I'll do it my way. I'll be my own king. I'll be my own captain. I'll do it my way. I don't want to get into this, but you know that how sobering that song really is when you see it from a Christian point of view. And now the end is near, and now I face the final curtain, and he's boasting and doing it his way, and that's the way to hell. That's the way to hell. Really? Wow, I didn't know that. Wow, isn't that amazing? So here it is, even to that very end, to the final curtain, I did it my way. Wow, that's the pattern of this world. That's the beat of the Pied Piper Satan that will lead you to eternal hell. That's why he had to do what he did, to save us from that, because we were going to follow it all the way. And if I could add one final thing to hopefully clear all this up for us, there is nowhere in the Bible that teaches in any shape or form the very popular notion, even among some who say they're Christian or maybe are Christian, that all people are the children of God. It does not say that anywhere. In fact, it says just the opposite. We are all the creation of God with the potential to become the sons and daughters of God, the children of God. But to do that, you must be born again. Because if not, you know what the Bible says you are? A child of wrath. That means with that little baby that's born innocent from our eyes is already under the wrath of God. Children of wrath. Already. And guess what? They only cement that even further because not only are you born into sin, but then we all commit sin anyway. See, because you know what it says? It says we're dead in what are we dead in? Trespasses and sins. That means, see, trespasses is stepping over the line intentionally. Sin is just missing the mark because we just never get it right. So that means we're both rebels and failures. That's how desperate our situation was. And Jesus said that you are children of wrath. He called them broods of vipers, and he said, your father is the devil. Jesus didn't mince any words. That was once some of us. Maybe it is still you. And you say, man, and my buddy told me to come to church today to hear some good news, and I feel like crap right now. He just told me I'm stinking lousy going to hell. Yeah, I did, because that's what the Bible says. It's not me. It's not me. My responsibility is to speak the truth. And right now you might be saying, man, why did I even come? Why did I even bother? Maybe somebody's going to listen to this because you say, hey, you got to hear this message from church today. And I want to listen, and they're at home right now. They're ready to click off. Don't click off yet, please. Oh, by the way, we're back on Facebook right now. It's working. It's answer to prayer. Now we have to. Now we stand on God's feet, promises that we're going to be able to get this message out. And you know what? Somebody might be ready to click off right now, but I have something for you from God's word, not my opinion. But God. Pastor friend of mine told me years ago, and I never was able to hear the message because I don't think it was recorded, but he told me about a message of when he was at, I think, a pastor's conference one time, about one of the people spoke there, and his message was on the butts of the Bible. And he unintentionally broke up everybody in the audience when he talked about the Bible, where it talks about the little butts and the big butts, you know. And they just lost it, you know. But that wasn't his intention, but he was talking about this. This is a big butt. Because you and I, all of us, were dead in our trespasses and sins, and we had no hope of ever getting out of that condition, and we were on our way to hell, but God. But God. But God. But God, who is rich in mercy. Why? Because of his great love with which he loved us. Notice, past tense. Please note that. He loved you when? When what? When you were dead in trespasses and sin. When you were unlovely, unlovable, filthy, dirty. He loved you. He loved you. You know why? Because if he didn't love you then, you can't be loved in the present. Because when you were dead in your trespasses and sins is when the Bible says he loved you so much that he died for you. He loved you that much. While you were dead in trespasses and sins, you say, that's just your opinion. No, verse 5. Even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. So his love for us, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his love towards us, while we were yet sinners, he died for us, because this God has said, even when you were dead in trespasses and sins, he made us alive together. Notice it is together. Sometimes you think you're the only one. No, there's a whole bunch that are going. Is it the majority of the world? No, I don't get that sense from Scripture, but it's still a whole bunch. I don't know what that number is,
I know they only come through the narrow gate. I know that many find the wide gate, which is the way that leads to hell by following the pattern of this world and listen to the Pied Piper Satan going to hell. But there's still those that find salvation through Jesus Christ. Because God, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. And listen to what the Holy Spirit has to drop in here. By grace you have been saved. Because at some point, there is sometimes we get this impression that I did something to make myself somewhat lovable to God or acceptable to God. No, you didn't. Nothing. There's nothing in us at all that makes us lovable, but he loves us. He loves us. I don't get it, but praise God for it, because if not, we'd all be dead in our trespasses and sin for eternity. So he saves us by his grace because of his love, that while we were in dead in trespasses and sins, right, he raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Somebody say amen. Say, this is not my home. I'm just passing through. My home's in heaven. I want to be with Jesus, but I got work to do while I'm here. But he raises us up together. Like the man on the cross that said to Jesus upon his dying moments, Lord, remember me. And Jesus said, this day you will be with me in paradise. This day. This day. When he accepted that and believed, he was with Jesus. Bam. You're with Jesus now if you're born again. You're his. Remember we talked about that last week? You're sealed. This is not your home. Oh, but I pay a mortgage. Oh, don't worry about the mortgage. I pay rent. Don't worry about the rent. Your home's in heaven. You and I are passing through as pilgrims here. One day we're going to see what already is. It already is. We're just going to see it. That faith that we have in that has not yet been made sight, but we will see it one day, that we will be raised up together and sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, because that's the only way to get there, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. His grace is so amazing and so abundant that there's more than you could ever, ever, ever need. And he's inviting you, take it. Take my grace. Take it, 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 take it. It's yours. Why? When I'm dead in trespasses and sin? Well, yes, it's there to be saved and born again. But even now, if you're a child of God, the grace is being extended to you. And he's saying, walk in my grace. Grow my grace. Take my grace. You know what happens through the grace of God? He gets glorified. He gets glorified. It's for his own purpose. It's for his own glory. Yeah, it's for our good, but it's for his glory. So what's the results of all of this? Well, it's the last few verses we're going to read this morning in this second chapter. What's the result of our reconciliation? What's the result of our redemption? What's the result of but God loving us and saving us while we were dead in trespasses and sin? What is the result of all this? It says, for by grace you've been saved. He's going to say this. Notice how many times the Holy Spirit says this over and over again? It's over, the theme. We're saved by grace, not by works. Saved by grace. We're saved. You've been saved through faith by grace. You've been saved for grace. You've been saved through faith. It's the grace of God. We receive it through faith. Believe in his promise towards us, right? And not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And here's the results. For we are his workmanship. Poema is in the Greek. Some say it means poem. It does not. It doesn't mean poem. It's nice to think that, but it does mean we're his work of art. Could it be a poem? Sure, if that's where your mind wants to go, there's nothing wrong with that, but it doesn't translate from poema. Poema means a masterpiece, a finished work, a work of art. Who, me? Yeah, you. Yeah, you. Yes, you, who was dead in their trespasses and sins, that if you're in Christ, he made you alive to sit in heavenly places, and he's making you a work of art. Wow! Wow! You feeling a little better yet? Aren't you glad you didn't click off? But now it's time to do something, though. It's time to do something. There's results. We're created his workmanship. And why did he make us his beautiful work of art? Created in Christ Jesus for good works. We're created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Do you know what this masterpiece is? Our good works. That should glorify our Father in heaven. Our good works that testify that we were once dead in our trespasses and sins, but we've been made alive together in Christ, because I wouldn't be doing these good works unless there's something happened within me and changed me and made me new and different and transformed me. See, you and I have to remember something. Dead in trespasses and sins means that if you start going to church, or you start reading your Bible, or you start maybe praying now, or you quit drinking, or you quit, you know, sleeping around, or you quit, you know, gossiping on people and stealing from people, if you stop all that, that, okay, I got religion, I'm doing good. No, that's called reformation, and we could do that. People do it all the time. People do get changed. They clean up their act. They get a little better. That's reformation. People can do that all the time. But you know what that not is not? Transformation. Only God can transform us. So that we can glorify our Father in heaven. We are his workmanship, created. You know, you may think that when I got saved, God took my life and I couldn't do it, but he cleaned my life up and made me a better version of myself. No, he made you something new. Understand that. If any man or woman, and if anyone be in Christ, they are a new creation. The former things have passed away. Say it with me. Behold, all things are new. New. You and I are new in Christ. We're a new creation. He's creating this masterpiece within us that never existed before. He says, look what I'm doing. Look what I'm doing. Now, listen, look, we're all, most of us anyway, we're adults. I'm not talking about the kids downstairs. I'm talking about us up here, you know. And we kind of understand some things, and you say, well, wait a minute, the masterpiece is us. That means the church. But I've seen some bad things in church. Yeah, church can be a pretty bad place sometimes. In fact, many people that we know don't go out to church and won't go near church because they've had some bad experiences in church. That happens. That only happens when, first of all, you have to remember that everybody that goes to the church isn't necessarily part of the body of Christ. Just that, just people that just, if I had the time, I'd get into the whole thing about the mustard seed and the leaves and all the birds of the air. I mean, the church is organizationally has people that are all stripes. Some are saved, some are not saved. But even those amongst us who are saved, we don't always do the right job and do the right thing, because many times, even though we're born again, we walk according to our flesh. Yeah, we do. Shouldn't, but we do. And sometimes when our flesh is leading the way in church and amongst church, things can get ugly. And in my years as a Christian and in my years as a pastor, I've seen some of the ugly, and it's not pretty at all. It can get really yucky. But I've also seen the beauty. When we do the things we should do according to the Spirit, not according to our flesh. By the way, even a stumble in our flesh can be made into something beautiful. I've watched God, through problems in churches, make something beautiful come out of it. But when we are doing the things we're supposed to be doing, we are his workmanship on display. And we glorify our Father in heaven. And we testify to the world around us that we are his. and that he has done something special in us who were dead, who were not worthy. He's done something amazing, and that's what we want to put on display, that work of art. And in that, no flesh is glorified. Only your Father is glorified. Only your Father is glorified. Because you know why? Because people that knew you know you never have done that before. That's not you. That's not you. Something must have really changed in you. You say, yep, my Father changed me. He made me a new creation. And our good works glorify our Father in heaven. It's a beautiful thing when we allow those good works to be on display. They're valid evidence that somebody is walking according to God's plan, being made into this masterpiece that he's creating us to be, that testifies to his love, that testifies of his grace, that testifies of all these things that he has promised to do in and through the church, and that glorifies him in heaven. So if you'll indulge me for just a few more minutes, turn your Bibles with me. Who's got a Bible? Only four people got a Bible. Who's got a phone with a Bible in it? Who's got it muted so that you can take it out? It's not going to ring or play some kind of crazy song or ding tone or something like that, right? I was waiting for somebody earlier to play the Walking Dead theme when I was saying this. Get your Bible out with me. I know it's going to be on the screen. I know, but I want you to go through this. Go. Humor me. They're in the pews, too. Thank you, Wayne, for grabbing one, because then I saw that they're in the pews, too. 2 Timothy. Chapter 2. Because I want us now to understand the practical parts of living as this work of art that he is making us into by our good works. 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'm going to read verses 20 and 21. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, meaning dishonor, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. The big house here, the great house here, is the church, the family of God. It's his house, the church. That the church, by the way, that is consisted of all those that are born again and washed in the blood. That's the church. And in that church, the great house, we know it's our Father's house, and he designed it on a great scale, beautiful and wonderful. It's his making. It's not our own making. And the cost to build it was the price of the blood of Jesus Christ. And this great house is very important. And what happens in this great house is the center of God's plan through all the ages. And the question we have to ask ourselves today is that in this great house, there will be vessels, platters and bowls and urns and things like that. You know who that represents? Us. Us. As God's creation, you are a vessel. The question today for you and I is if you are now a vessel because you've been born again and you're part of the family of God and you are his masterpiece that he is looking to show the world his glory and his grace and his love, the question to ask yourself today, are you a vessel of gold and silver or wood or clay? See, Paul says and tells us something here that we need to understand. To become a vessel, you can't do anything except receive his forgiveness, except the finished work on the cross, through faith, the grace of God, through faith. We call that justification. That's a one-time thing. When you're dead in your trespasses and sin, you hear the gospel, and by faith you receive the gospel, realizing that you are dead, but knowing that you don't want to die eternally, and you say yes to the forgiveness of Jesus, and he comes, washes you, and you're born again into his family. You do that's justified. You become a vessel. Justified. You are guilty, but you're declared innocent because Jesus took the place, paid the penalty. You get all that, right? That's a one-time thing, being born again into the family of God. You're a vessel. Now, when you become a vessel, immediately, right after justification, comes this process, which is a lifelong process called sanctification. And that's to become the process to become more like Jesus. And in sanctification, where it differs from justification, is in justification, you and I can't do anything but just receive it. But in sanctification, we play a part. God will do what he will do in our life to bring us to that place of sanctification, to grow in sanctification, but we need to say, Father, I want to be sanctified, and position ourselves to be sanctified. See, and you say, well, again, is this your opinion? No, look at our text we just read. There's great house vessels of gold, silver, wood, and clay, some for honor, some for dishonor. Therefore, because of this, if anyone, now he's talking about those who are in Christ who are a vessel, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor. Lord, I want to be a vessel that glorifies you. I want to be a vessel like a golden bowl or a golden platter, that platter, that gold bowl, that gold whatever it is, would glorify my Father in heaven, because what's in that and what's contained in there are things like the fruit of the Spirit that is evident in my life, because you're producing it in me because I'm yielding myself to the Holy Spirit to become more like you every day. Does that make sense? The desire comes within our heart that I, as a vessel, want to be a vessel that glorifies my Father to the most he can be glorified. I want to be a gold vessel, because in that I'm not glorified. Jesus is glorified. My Father is glorified. So, Father, would you make me into a golden vessel? Father, would I understand enough that there's things, and by the way, the balance of this chapter that you can read and should read, he talks about things, practical steps that you do to get away from these things that are impeding your sanctification. Like, if you're a new creature in Christ, you don't have to lie anymore. But if you're still lying, you're impeding that process, that workmanship. You understand? Right? You once lied. You don't lie anymore. You once stole. You don't steal anymore. If you're still stealing, say, Lord, forgive me, but help me not to steal anymore, because I don't want to be a vessel that dishonors you. I want to be a vessel that honors you. Right? That's the part we play. You say, but I can't do it. I know you can't, but he'll do it in you if you just say, Lord, do it. Because if not, you'll get stiff. And you'll say, oh, no. I'm still got to do this. I still got to do that. You know, you don't understand. You know, you don't know where I came from and where I live and where I work. If I don't do a certain things, this, I can't. No. That's the world, the pattern of the world we talked about earlier. That's the worldly way of doing it. Now, you walk Christ's way and you watch how he transforms your life and your situation. And you things work better. Maybe not initially, but ultimately they will. And you will become a vessel that is gold, a vessel of silver, a vessel that glorifies and honors your Father in heaven, who is worthy of it because he in his great love loved you when you were dead in your trespasses and sin and died for you and gave all this wonderful, beautiful things into your life, poured out these blessings. Now, if you're thinking, well, wait, if I'm a golden vessel, I'm better than the clay vessels. No, you're not. No. There's nothing here about pride and human, our human side of us being glorified in any way, shape, or form. All we're doing is allowing God to complete the work that he's starting within us so that he polishes up, that he shapes us, that he makes us into the vessel he wants us to be. So somebody who's a golden vessel being used by God for honor is not better than a vessel of clay or a vessel of wood. Not at all. But they are more sanctified. They've allowed God to do more of that work in their life. In that process, they're becoming more like him. And think about this. It prepared for every good work. not just what maybe you do on Sunday morning. Oh, I want to do my stuff on Sunday because that's the day I do stuff to glorify God. I'll just do it. No. It's how you do 24/7. Driving down the highway of life, when you're going to work, when you're going to school, when you're going shopping, when you're in your house, especially in the house, man, in our house sometimes, if people saw the way many of us act in our own houses, they say, you call yourself a Christian? And they would write by saying that because we'd act the worst sometimes amongst the people that we say we love the most. Are you saying, Lord, make me a vessel in my home amongst my family of unbelievers? Lord, help me to be a vessel of honor on the job where nobody knows you but me. Yes, Lord, help me to be a vessel in church, but help me down the road of life to know that on this Jericho road of life that sometimes I got to stop and help somebody on the side there to glorify my Father in heaven, because that's not what I want to do, but it's what you want me to do. Because I want to be more like you. See, you can make a choice today, either to be a golden vessel that he displays the wonderful fruits of the Spirit, or to be a vessel that he takes out the trash in. Do you understand the difference? Nobody really notices too much a trash can unless you got to throw something in it. But the golden vessel that's there on display, wow, that gets attention. And the attention isn't going to us. It goes to our Father. That should be our goal. Father, create in us the vessels that you want us to be, which are going to be vessels that glorify him. And let him complete this workmanship, this masterpiece, this work of art that he has begun within you. So turn away from anything that's impeding that in your life. It's unnecessary. It's retarding the work of the Holy Spirit. It's retarding the completion of the masterpiece. Get rid of every obstacle and allow the Holy Spirit to do this work in you, that you would become a vessel to honor, that would honor and glorify your Father, that would thank him as a living sacrifice for all that he's done for you that you didn't deserve. Father, thank you today for this, your word, your truth. Father, let us not forget where we came from. And for those of us who are still there, dead in trespasses and sin, I pray today that it became, Lord, loud and clear that they don't have to stay dead, that they can become alive, and that can take place because they can turn to you, Lord, because you are a God who loves them so much that while they're in their trespasses and sin, you died on the cross for them, and by faith they can receive that today. There's nothing, no one that anyone has done that is too big for your grace. There's no sin too big that it cannot be washed by your blood. So, Father, would those who are still in trespasses and sin turn to you today as you quicken them, as you draw them, as they bow their hearts to you today and by faith receive your forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ. And, Father, would the church, your children, who were once children of wrath, Father, who are now children of the Most High God, help us to truly walk worthy of this high calling we have, to be, Lord God, vessels of gold that would honor and glorify you. Vessels, Lord God, that would show the marvelous things of your workmanship that you have done in us and through us, that we never forget where we came from. And we also never forget where we're going. But we would recognize right now we have an opportunity to put you on display through these lives, through these vessels. Would that be our heart's desire? So, fathers, justify some today by your grace. And, Lord, continue the work of sanctifying others as they would yield, as we would yield more to your work within us by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. Don't rush right out today. Let's worship one more time with music, but encourage one another before you leave. Invite somebody to church this week, next Sunday. Do that work. Do the work of an evangelist. You don't have to be one to do the work of an evangelist. Let's just sing, "Wow, Amazing Grace."